Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 12, and I wish that gnat would go on so I don't take it in. I've got enough protein and fiber already today. Look in verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 12. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Note again what he says in verse number 2, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Father, help us tonight. I pray, God, that as we look into your word, that we would rightly divide it, God. I pray, Lord, that the people wouldn't hear me, God, but they would hear you through me. I pray, God, that you would transform me into somebody different tonight. God, I can't say or do anything in my flesh that would help anybody. So I pray, God, that you would help us for a little while tonight to uplift you, and may we get help from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look over the next several weeks. I know at least tonight and Wednesday night and probably another message after that, here out of Romans chapter number 12, and talk to you a little while about the transformed life. The transformed life. We are living in a day when people are under tremendous pressure. There's pressure to succeed, to fit in, to keep everyone happy, to look like everything is okay, pressure to carry burdens that no one else even knows that we're carrying. And the truth is simply this: many people walk into church every service smiling on the outside while fighting battles on the inside. A lot of times we come to church and we act like we've got everything together and everything's going just fine. But truthfully, inside, we are fighting battles inside of us. The world offers all kinds of answers to this. Just renovate yourself. Follow your heart. You can do it. Be who you want to be. Think more positive. But the truth of the matter is this: we're all just flesh. And even though our soul may be saved, my grandpa would say it this way if he was still alive, this old flush — he didn't call it flesh, he called it flush — he'd say, this old flush isn't saved. There is battles that we face in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. When I thought about this, God never called us to renovate ourselves, but he did call us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter number 12 isn't about becoming a better version of yourself. It is about becoming a different person through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I can't do it on my own. And the problem is, so many times we try to fix everything on our own, and we try to become a better person on our own. And we can on our own. That's the reason that he tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind and God's mind are not always the same. Matter of fact, he said this: his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes there's some things that go through my mind that's not of the Lord. You might as well holler amen, because there's things that go through your mind that's not of God also. So what does he say to us? He says that we ought to be transformed, what? By the renewing of our mind. I want to show you a few things tonight. Number one, I want to say this: the transformed person, living a transformed life. Number one, the transformed person is a saved person. He's a saved person. What did the Bible say? Brethren. He said, I beseech you therefore what? Brethren. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the saved man. He's not talking to the lost man in Romans chapter number 12. He's talking to the saved man. Transformation never begins with self-improvement. It always begins with salvation. Those that try to transform themselves by turning to everything this world has to offer and all kind of counselings and rehabilitation, and I'm not against those things, but I want you to hear me tonight. They will never transform your mind. Transformation begins with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It begins by realizing you're lost and on the road to hell and repenting of your sins and asking Him into your heart. Many people try to fix outward problems without ever addressing the inward problem. A better marriage, a better attitude, a better work ethic, a better family, all of that begins when, number one, we become transformed in salvation. What did He say? He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What is that? That is the transformed man. We become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, some of y'all won't remember this, but I remember there used to be a store called Maxway in Yadkinville. Brother Charles, you probably remember the Maxway in Yadkinville. I remember we used to go there, and they had Matchbox cars in there, but they also had this little car that was called a Transformer. And you know what you done? You bought it, and it looked like one thing. And mom and dad, they wasn't but 99 cents, but I'm telling you, we didn't have 99 cents to buy a Transformer car when I was a little boy. Every once in a while, mama would buy one. Just every, if I'd been real good, it was never for making A's in school. I'd never got anything if it's for that. But if I'd been real good, mama would buy me one. You know what it looked like? Just a regular car. But boy, you could go to work on that thing and it would transform into something different. You know what happens the day that you get saved? You look like one thing, but you get birthed into the family of God and He transforms you into something else. So number one, I say this, and I'm headed to number two, and that's where I'm going to settle in at tonight. The transformed person is a saved person. I don't think that we have to labor that point. I think that we can all understand that. Number two, the transformed person is not only a saved person. Here's where I want to settle in at. The transformed person is a surrendered person. There's a lot of people that I believe are truly saved by the grace of God, but they never make it to point two. They realize they're lost. They repent of their sins. They ask Jesus into their heart, and He saves them. But a little bit of time goes by, and now I want to say this to you. Salvation is not progressive. The moment that I asked the Lord to save me, you know what happened? The Lord saved me. Can I get an amen? Sanctification, however, is progressive. You should be closer to God today than you was the day you got saved. You should have more standards in your life today than you did the day you got saved. And I just say something to you tonight. It's not time to drop standards. It's not time to go a different way. It's time to hold fast to sound doctrine. Amen. But now watch this. The transformed person is a surrendered person. Know what He said in verse number two. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Note verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to hear me what I'm fixing to say. God never tells us to do something without providing the instructions on how to do it. Do you know what I just said? I can't stand for somebody to tell me to do something and I have no idea how to do it, and them expect me to do it and then them get mad at me because I didn't do it. I called Brother Mark yesterday and I say, Brother Mark, the urinal's not running. There's no water going through it whenever you push the handle. And he said, well, is it turned off? I said, well, I don't know. I don't see no thing to turn it on and off. That's the way you used to look, and there's a little thing down there, he turned it on and off. He said, well, there's a screw in there. He said, if you'll turn that screw, I said, I'll be glad to turn that screw, but where's that screw at? He told me where the screw was at. I found the screw, I turned the screw, and we got everything back to going. You say, preacher, what do you say? I was glad to do it, but somebody had to tell me how to do it. You know what? A lot of times people get saved and we say, you need to live for the Lord. You need to do this. You need to transform your mind. But we never take time to walk them right down through the Bible and say, here's how you do that. The transformed man, he's a surrendered person. So he tells us how to be surrendered, but he's going to show us how to. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did he not tell us to do that? He said not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we not fulfill the lust of the flesh? He said walk in the Spirit. It's just an example. Anytime God tells us not to do something, he tells us how not to do it. Anytime he tells us to do something, in his word, he'll tell us how to do it. Think about this. A transformed person is a surrendered person. Now, here it is. That surrendered person, watch this tonight. His mind is renewed. His mind is renewed. Every one of us is being influenced every day. The world constantly tells us your value is in your accomplishments. Your identity is in your career. Your happiness comes from your possessions. Your worth comes from what others think about you. But God says this, you need to renew your mind. The world says, be this way. God says, be this way. What is he saying? Your mind needs to be transformed. Your mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed. Isaiah said this in chapter number 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Watch now. Whose mind is stayed on thee. You say, preacher, how do I have perfect peace in my life? Your mind is stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mind is not on the things of this world. It's not in the circumstances that surround you. But your mind is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, when we look at Paul where he said, seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. And he goes on in that chapter and says again, not to faint. When you read in between those two things, Paul talks about all those things that he went through. But he says this, bearing in my body the marks of the Lord and the death of the Lord. What Paul is saying is this, even though I may go through all of these things, all of these things are earthly. All of these things are trivial. All of these things will come to pass, and there will come a day that we're on the other side. So I choose in my mind to think about eternal things and have my mind stayed on the Lord. The battle has always been in the mind. We live in one of the most anxious generations in history. Matter of fact, there is a book that is called The Anxious Generation, and it's dealing with adolescents and teenagers and young adults and the anxiety and depression problem that has risen since the first iPhone released. It's a very interesting book. It deals with screen time and how screen time affects people, and it's another whole message within itself. Well, I'm telling you something, it's a fact. It's a fact today. So when we think about this, we live in a time of depression. We live in a time of fear. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to gas prices? What's going to happen to fuel prices? What's going to happen if the cloud goes down? Everything we've got's in the cloud. I don't know if you know that or not. It is. What's going to happen if the cloud? The worry. I thought about this. We live in a world of comparison. Everybody is comparing themselves to everybody else. You know what? Hardly ever do you ever see, and I've never seen it. Maybe you have, and I'm just going to say something to you. Best thing you can do is stay off social media 99% of the time. Best thing you can do is turn the news off 99% of the time and renew your mind through the Word of God. Amen.
How many times you see somebody post a picture and say, today's been the awfulest day of my life. Everything went wrong. But you know what they do? They use these filters. Read the anxious generation. It's very interesting to read about the filters that come in Instagram to begin with and how you can go back and watch the trends of depression in adolescent and preteen and teenage girls skyrocket after that because they're chasing an unrealistic expectation. Are you with me today? That's the society that we're living in, comparison, bitterness, anger. Have you ever seen such an angry generation, man? People's angry about everything. You better, whenever the light turns green, put the hammer down or somebody's going to horn cuss you. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if they do me, they've just had a worse day because I'm not in no hurry at that point. I'll roll through the light while it's turning yellow and red and wave at them as I'm going through it. You ride my bumper, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to run about 15 miles an hour. It don't bother me, man. Are you it? But an angry generation, man. Look at the anger in young people today. Look at the anger management problem today in our society. Have you ever seen such a time? I mean, if you pick up a Snicker bar and somebody else wanted that one that was right there, even though there's 42 behind it, they always just pull a gun out and shoot you today. It's an angry generation. All of these battles, watch this, they began right here. You know where anxiety begins at? It begins in the mind. You want me to tell you where depression begins at? It begins in the mind. Every bit of it goes back to what Paul is saying to us, that we renew our mind. I thought about this. If Satan can influence your thinking, he'll ultimately influence your living. If he can influence your thinking, he'll ultimately influence your living. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Turn with me just a few pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want you to see something with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Again, just a couple pages over. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you." He said, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that, when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We're walking in the flesh, but we're not warring after the flesh. Note verse number 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down. Know what he said in verse number 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity." Here it is. "Every thought to the obedience of Christ." Again, I'm preaching on the renewed mind being transformed. What? By the renewed mind. And what does he say? He says that we cast down imaginations. You know what that word casting means? It means this: to throw down or to demolish. And he's saying this: when those thoughts enter our mind, those thoughts of anger, those thoughts of fear. You know what anxiety is 99% of the time? It's fear. It's fear of the unknown. What is going to happen? And here's what Paul says to us. When those things enter our mind, church, the way that we overcome that, the way that our mind is renewed, we demolish it. We throw it down. Casting down imaginations. This verse is one of the clearest passages in Scripture on the battle of the mind. Paul is not primarily talking about positive thinking or psychology. He is describing spiritual warfare that begins in the mind. Note what he says, casting down what? Imaginations. The word imaginations comes from a Greek word that means reasoning, arguments, opinions, or false ways of thinking. Think about this, Paul is referring to human philosophies that oppose God's truth. Wrong conclusions we come to in our minds. Lies Satan plants. Sinful thought patterns. These are the thoughts that build strongholds in an individual's mind. Can I give you an example? God doesn't really love me. Hear what I just said? God doesn't really love me. Sin really isn't that serious. I can handle temptation. Can man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt? That's what the Bible says. What about this? I don't need God's word. The church doesn't care about me. Those imaginations, I hope you're getting what I'm preaching to you tonight. Those imaginations, the pastor is mad at me. Can I just make a public service announcement? If I'm mad at you, you'll not have to wonder about it. Okay, I'll come to you. I'm man enough. I'll come to you and I'll talk to you about it. But the devil will get in your mind and the devil will say, you know what, the preacher's mad at you. The church don't care about you. Nobody up there cares. I'm preaching real good tonight. You say, how do you know you're preaching good? Because he gets in my mind and says, you're mad at me and you don't care about me and the church don't care about me. Somebody say amen. That's what he does. The pastor's mad at me. Everyone up there is against me. Those are imaginations. False ways of thinking is what that means. Those are imaginations that must be what? Torn down. There have been a lot of people who have gotten out of church and walked away from people who truly loved them and cared about them because of imaginations. But they imagined something in their mind. What did he say? Casting down imaginations. And then he goes on to say this, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Let's just break the verse down. A high thing is anything that proudly sets itself above that that God has revealed. This could be include pride, human wisdom, false religion, worldly philosophies, intellectual arrogance, personal opinions that contradict Scripture. Whenever someone says, I know what the Bible says, but I think this. We are placing a high thing above the knowledge of God. And what we must do is bring that into captivity. He goes on to say this, bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought that we have has to be brought into captivity. Has to be brought into captivity. Whenever you study it out, this is a military language. Imagine an enemy soldier being captured, disarmed, and led away as a prisoner. Paul says that every thought that enters our mind should be treated the same way. You say, well, what if it's a thought of God? He'll reveal that to you. But if it's not a thought of God, if it's of arrogance, if it's of pride, if it's of anger, are you hearing a preacher tonight? If it's of bitterness, you know what you have to do? You have to capture that thought and throw that thought away. It's not welcome in my mind. It's not welcome. You said, preacher, how do you do that? You do it through the Word of God. Think about this. Think about this. Instead of letting thoughts rule us, we must examine them. We ask ourselves, is this true? Does this agree with the Scripture? And I just want to say something to you about the Scripture. You just need to take the Scripture for face value. A lot of times, there's so many people today questioning the Scripture. I need this and I need that. I want you to hear me. There's a lot of things in the Bible that's principle. Nowhere in the Bible do you find don't shoot your veins full of heroin. I can't give you a chapter, an exact verse that says don't shoot your veins full of heroin. But you know what there is? There is a principle to the Word of God. Our body is the temple of God. Somebody say amen. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you. Does those thoughts line up with the Word of God? Do they line up with the Word of God? Is it honoring to Christ? Those thoughts that are in your mind. Would Christ be honored with it? Where did the thoughts come from? Where did they come from? If it doesn't belong, then don't entertain it. Capture it. Then he says this, to the obedience of Christ. The goal isn't merely positive thinking. The goal is obedient thinking. You know, we live in a society where we've got to have positive thinking. Well, I understand what you're saying on that, but we really need to change that to we need obedient thinking. We need obedient. It's not about positive thinking. It's about obedient thinking. It's about thinking based on the Scripture, and does it apply to the Scripture? Every thought should submit to Christ's authority. Just as our actions should obey Him, our minds should obey Him. Our minds should. This verse reminds us that battles are won or lost long before actions ever occur. Long before actions ever occur. Now, let me give you a practical application and I'll be done for that. Here's your practical application on everything I just talked about. Suppose the thought comes in your mind, God has forgotten me. Are you with me tonight? God has forgotten me. What do? I capture it and then I compare it with Scripture. Every thought, capture it and compare it to Scripture. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's what he said in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. So even though the thought may come, I'm talking about renewing our mind. Even though the thought may come that God has forgotten me, when I capture that and I compare it to the Scripture, I find out that God hasn't forgot me. Amen. Watch this. Perhaps the thought is, no one will know. Nobody's going to know about this. Well, capture it and compare it to the Scripture. Here's what he said in Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. I'm talking about renewing your mind. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. So when that thought goes through your mind, you know what? Nobody will know about this if I do this. I can get away with this. Nobody's ever going to know about it. You better capture that thought. Compare that thought to Scripture. And here's what the Bible says about it. The Lord's eyes are in every place. The thought is brought into obedience at that point. In chapter number 10, Paul is defending his apostleship. Some critics claim that he was weak in person, but he's bold in his letter. Paul answers by saying his weapons are not carnal, but they are spiritual. He isn't fighting people. He's fighting false ideas, prides, and arguments that opposes God's truth. So you say, preacher, how do I renew my mind tonight? How do I renew my mind tonight? His mind is renewed. Here's the way we do it. We capture the thought, and we compare the thought to Scripture. And what the Scripture says is the ultimate authority to that thought. Come start playing, Miss Tina. That's the ultimate authority to it. Not what somebody else thinks. Matter of fact, whenever you get to Revelation and we get before the Lord and He talks about opening the books, let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you what you're going to be judged by when you get to heaven. It's this right here. You're going to be judged by the Word of God. That's what He's going to judge us by. There's not some rule book up there that no one knows anything about and what the rules are in it. This right here is what we're going to be judged by. And that's the reason he says that we renew our mind. Why? Because when those thoughts come, church, we must capture them and then compare them to Scripture. The transformed person, he's a surrendered person. What? His mind is surrendered because it's renewed. I'll deal with this Wednesday night. His pride is surrendered and it's restrained. He goes on to talk about in verse number 3 and to begin to deal with pride and how to overcome that. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. Every one of us deal with it. Every one of us deal with it. And there is a good pride. You say, what is that? I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of our church. Are you hearing me tonight? It all starts before you go anywhere else in Romans chapter number 12. He starts with your salvation, brethren, and he turns right to our mind. Let me tell you the reason Paul does that. Because Paul is just like every one of us sitting in this room. He battled his mind. Well, sometimes we think that the writers of the Bible, and I know that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate authority in the Bible. Somebody say amen. He is the ultimate. But the writers of the Bible, sometimes we think that they were some supernatural person. I'm telling you something, Elijah was just like me. Moses was just like me. Paul was just like me. I'm telling you, they are. And he's saying this, when we battle our mind, we must capture those things. When we capture them, we compare them back to Scripture. When we compare them to Scripture, what does the Bible say about it? What, boy, you can think of all different kinds of things and look at it and then look up a verse for it. Temptation. Look up a verse for it. Compare it. Walk in the Spirit. Why? So you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whenever that thought comes through your mind that is a fleshly thought and is a temptation and is going to destroy your home and your marriage and you young people, it's going to destroy your virginity. You know what you do? You trace that back to the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? And the Bible is the ultimate authority on it. And when you read the verse, don't try to twist it into something else. Just take it. A lot of times that's what we try to do on both sides. Try to make it say something that don't. We try to make it not say something that it does. The Bible tonight.